Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. In verse 25, Jesus said, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Take no thought. Take no thought. Usually we say, well, you got to think about things. And Jesus says, don't even think about it. Take no thought. That word thought is the word merimnao. And it's from the word meramna, which means care or solicitude. You could put it in modern language by saying, don't take it so seriously. Don't be too serious about this. One thing I'm noticing is that sometimes people don't know what to take seriously. And sometimes they also don't know what not to take seriously. In order for me to become a mature believer, I need to understand what to take seriously and what not to. If I take things seriously that I ought not take seriously, I'm going to get hung up, bogged down, become very unproductive, and really be very easily distracted in my life with God. If I don't know what to take seriously, I'm never going to grow. I'm never going to mature. I'm never going to learn how to live in the call of God, how to live the life of God. And so for a few minutes tonight, we're going to talk about what to take seriously and what not to. And here Jesus says, take no thought for your life. Now, this is one of the things that we would never expect God to say, don't take this so seriously. Don't take your life so seriously. Some people will preserve their life because they take their natural life so seriously. Everything is important. Everything is heavy. Everything is meaningful. Some things are not. Some things I really don't want to get hung up on. Some things you can just let go. And some things you really do want to pay careful attention to. Don't take your life so seriously. Sometimes we may think that we have to take it seriously to be responsible. I'm not saying be irresponsible. Please, be responsible. But be responsible and yet put the correct weight on that which is weighty, and the correct weight on that which is not so weighty. Not everything is equal. God says, don't take your life so seriously. What is it that you are concerned about in your life? Are you wondering if you're growing? That's a serious thing, isn't it? Are you wondering if you're changing correctly? Are you wondering about the things you need to change? You're taking your life too seriously. Why do I say don't take that too seriously? Because you can't do anything about it. It's not you that changes you. It's God that changes you. I have no ability to change myself. Sometimes people want other people to change. Why? Because they're taking things a little too seriously. Have you ever been irritated by something? Have you ever been irritated by someone? Perhaps you're taking things a little too seriously. Why is it that the love of God doesn't prevail under certain types of conditions? In other words, I can love people with no problems at all under certain conditions, and under certain other conditions, you cannot get me to love them. People may feel like that at times. Why is that? Well, one of the reasons is because I'm taking the wrong thing so seriously. I'm taking my own evaluations a bit too seriously. I'm taking what's going on with people a bit too seriously. I'm taking what they're doing a bit too seriously. I'm taking my circumstances a bit too seriously. And that's why I can't love. Take love seriously. Don't take circumstances too seriously. You cannot change the circumstance to a very great measure if you can change it at all. So don't take it so seriously. But take love very seriously. Take being patient very seriously. Take being kind very seriously. Now by that, I'm not talking about nicey-nice. Now patience was one thing. Kindness has nothing to do with someone's emotions. Kindness, before it can touch the emotions, has to touch the capacity. Okay, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Let's say that a parent has a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old who's into throwing temper tantrums. And the parent, in the name of being kind to their child, doesn't discipline the child when the child throws a temper tantrum. And the parent might say, well, I have to be understanding. I have to be careful about their emotions. I have to be careful about their self-image. I can't discipline them. What did God say is going to happen? God says you're going to spoil that kid. And indeed, they're usually spoiled when that takes place. No, instead, you properly discipline the child. And at that age, a whole lot of explanation isn't going to amount to anything. You have to start with discipline. I know a guy. He has 2 daughters. These are girls who are exceptional. The one young lady is in a very prestigious doctoral program. I'm not going to get into the details of it because I don't want to expose anybody. But she's in a very prestigious doctoral program. I knew her since she was a teenager. And this is a very impressive young lady who never got in trouble, never did the wrong things, never desired. It wasn't that she never got in trouble because she was held captive. It was she never got into trouble because she learned how to think early. She learned how to think early. These things never appealed to her. And so she had the confidence in her to never go down that road that so many of her friends, peers were going down because it had no appeal to her. Her sister likewise, an exceptional young lady, extraordinarily gifted in a certain type of an art, so much so that world-renowned artists who practice the same genre are very impressed with her. And she studied that at a very prestigious school. Why am I saying that? I asked him one time, how is it that you had such great success with your daughters? And he said, you know, I used to wonder about if I was going overboard. But I was very strict. When they were little kids, I would not let them get away with anything. And from the time they were just little toddlers, they would face proper discipline. I'm not saying anger. He was never a guy who would lose it. But he and his wife knew how to instill proper discipline. They wouldn't tolerate childish behavior in the wrong sense. In other words, if their kid, even though they were 2, threw a temper tantrum, the temper tantrum was not tolerated. Discipline would ensue. Consequences brought in. And then when they were older, when they were in the troubling teenage years that so many young people are plagued with, these girls never had a problem. They were mature well beyond their years. Their father and mother did not take their little temper tantrum so seriously, their little ego so seriously, their self-image so seriously, as to not give them what they actually needed. They were being kind to their children by forcing their children to grow correctly. It would have been profoundly unkind if they simply said to their kids, well, I don't want you to feel bad about yourself, so you can throw your little temper tantrum and express your feelings. Well, you do that with a kid, and when they're 15, they're a little nightmare. But these girls, when they were 15, they were amazing. They had more maturity than adults that I know. Because the right thing was taken seriously, and the right thing was not given weight. We have to learn what to take seriously. Take patience seriously. Take kindness seriously. Take the character of God seriously. Capacities are a serious issue. But learn what to take seriously. Don't take your life so seriously. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to work? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? And some people occupy their entire life with these things. And they're taking the wrong thing seriously. God says, don't even take thought for this. Take no care for this. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to put on your body. Does it cover you? Does it work? Don't worry about if it's the best. Is it sufficient? Is it good enough? You know, there is a time to say good enough. Yes, whatever we do it unto the Lord. But, you know, you do the best you can and then you say good enough. And if you can't do any better than that, you don't knock yourself over the head with it. Because, indeed, good enough sometimes is the best. Perfectionists have this problem. They don't know when to say good enough. It's not about being perfect. It's about being effective. Please understand that. It's not about how well you do it. It's about, did you respond? It's not about, did you get everything right? It's about, was it a faith? The person who says, I've got to be perfect, is taking their lives very seriously. But God says, don't take your life so seriously. But God, I can do better, I know it. And there's that little attitude of perfectionism. And God says, you can't do better. You can't do anything apart from me. So how are you going to do better when you can do nothing apart from me? It's not you that's doing anything anyway. It's me that's doing it in you. So don't take your life so seriously. In Luke 12:22, he said unto his disciples, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body or what you shall put on. Same kind of an idea. Don't take yourself so seriously. Here's the thing about taking your life so seriously. Your life is not your own. You ever meet somebody who meddles into other people's business? Things that really have nothing to do with them at all, and they want to know all about it, and they offer their opinions and advice and what have you, and it's really nothing to do with them. And usually when they do it to somebody, people may be kind, they may be unkind, but people are usually thinking, why are you even bothering? This has nothing to do with you. It's not your business. We've all met people like that. You know, your life is not altogether your business. And that will sound strange because you say, it's my life. You see, here's the thing. It's not. Galatians 2:20 says it's not your life. Galatians 2:20 says your life is gone. You've been crucified with Christ. Your life is over. You don't have a life. The life that you live is the life of the Son of God. Christ's life. Take Christ's life very seriously. Take living Christ's life very seriously. How am I going to live Christ's life and how do I take that very seriously? Well, the just live by faith in Habakkuk 2:4. Well, how do I live by faith? Well, faith comes by hearing in Romans 10:17. So take hearing the Word of God very seriously. Some people say, well, I just don't have faith, or I don't have capacity, or get this, I don't have hunger. And there's a lot of people out there who say, I don't actually have hunger. I'm a Christian, yes, I thank God for my salvation. I'll even be faithful at church, but quite frankly, I'm not really all that hungry. I'll go twice a week, I'll go once a week, what have you. But you know what? I'm not going to get built up during the day. Not on my own time. I'm not going to listen to a message. Some people think it's like the strangest thing that you would listen to a message during the week outside of church. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I'm not that hungry. Understand something. When you are well fed, you have a healthy appetite. When you are not well fed, your appetite starts to wane. Sometimes you'd hear about somebody entering a hunger strike. This was one of the things they used politically in the days of communism and different things when they wanted to make a point. And they'd go on a hunger strike. And I always wondered, how do you do that? Aren't you starved? And then I listened to an interview one time with somebody who had done that. They said, the hunger lasts for a few days, and then you're not hungry anymore. People who have eating disorders, they get sick if they eat. They can't handle it. People who are severely anorexic need medical help to start eating again, because their body will reject the food. If you're not hungry, you need help. If you're not hungry, you need to get some food. Now, the help you need, spiritually speaking, is the help of discipline. Not discipline from God, self-discipline. That's called temperance. We think of temperance as simply self-control. But it's not just self-control, it's self-discipline. That includes self-control. That includes I don't lose it. That includes I don't let my emotions reign. That includes I don't act like a child, even if I feel like a child. But it also includes I'm disciplined in my habits. I'm disciplined to get built up in the Word of God. I'm disciplined toward the things of God. I'm disciplined in the call of God. I'm disciplined to pray, to talk to God. That doesn't mean you have to have a formal kneeling down session. That means you are going to be talking to God throughout your day and you make a point of it. If you're not hungry, you need discipline. In today's schedules, people will sometimes say, I don't have the schedule for it. I don't have time. I don't have time to listen to a message for a half hour or an hour. And by the way, the Bible says everybody needs a minimum of an hour a day. And people say, well, I don't have time. Okay, let me get this straight. God says you need to do this. And you're saying to God, I don't have time. Am I getting this right? And of course, at that point, some people will hesitate because they know that's not really quite acceptable. If you don't have time, you've got the wrong priorities. And I don't care how good your priorities seem to you, you're taking the wrong things seriously. You're taking some detail of life far too seriously. And that which is necessary, you're not taking seriously enough. Take the Word of God, time in the Word of God, seriously. It is your righteousness before God because it produces faith, which is counted as righteousness. You can be as perfect as you think you are, or as you may want to desire to be. But without faith, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because faith is our righteousness. Take the Word of God seriously. Don't take your details so seriously. Oh, but I have to be responsible. Be responsible. But take the Word of God seriously. Well, I've got to go to work. I've got to take care of the kids. I've got to make the house. I've got to cook. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do the other things. Fine. If there's no other way around it, then get an hour less sleep. Oh, but then I'll be tired. Then take your tiredness less seriously. Sometimes people put a premium on being tired or a premium on not feeling well. It amazes me how many people walk around not feeling well. Now, I'm not saying it's not legitimate. It usually is. But why is it such a big deal? Why is it a big deal that I'm not feeling well? Why is it such a big deal that I have a cold? Why is it such a big deal that my back hurts. Why is that such a big deal? And I know sometimes things get debilitating, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the normal situations. Why is that such a big deal? Because the wrong things are taken seriously. That's why. Take seriously what should be taken seriously. Don't take seriously what should not. Don't take yourself too seriously. If I take myself too seriously, my opinions, my moods, my identity, my acceptance, my will are going to be a very big deal to me. How I feel, it's all about how I feel, it's what I think. It's about knowing that I'm accepted and everybody better accept me. It's about what I want and when I want it. You're taking yourself way too seriously. Your life doesn't even exist anymore. Can you imagine this? You're in the graveyard and all of a sudden the corpse sits up and says, I want a hamburger and I want it now. That's kind of what we're like. I'm mad. You're dead. I'm mad. I'm not happy. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I don't approve. I don't think it should happen like that. Nobody's taking me so seriously. You're dead. Of course I'm not going to take you seriously. You're dead. By the way, don't take other people's flesh so seriously either. You see, if you're taking yourself so seriously, what you're doing is you're taking your flesh seriously. God doesn't take your flesh seriously. God crucifies your flesh. That's not taking it seriously. That's putting it in its rightful place. It's dead. I'm not worrying about it. And if you try to live in your flesh, God looks at you like you're weird. Why? Because you are weird. Don't take your flesh seriously and don't take somebody else's flesh seriously. Some people who take their flesh so seriously get very upset if you don't take their flesh seriously. And by golly, they're going to let you know it, and you had better take their flesh seriously. And God's looking at them like, you're a basket case, and you're a little bit pathetic right now. You may as well be that little kid with their little fist going up and down during a little temper tantrum when you take your flesh so seriously, and somebody else better take it seriously too. Why are you taking that seriously? It's dead. Who cares? Who cares? Whatever it is, who cares? What is it that's getting you so out of sorts? The answer is, who cares? It's meaningless, it's pointless, it's vapor, it's dust, it's nothing of anything, it has no value, worth, merit, anything. Who cares? Why are you taking it so seriously? Oh, because I feel it. Well, the dead man's still feeling something, huh? Who cares? You only feel it because you're taking it too seriously. How about the life of God? How about the fruit of the Spirit? Take the fruit of the Spirit seriously. Take things like gentleness seriously. Forgiveness. There's another one. Take forgiveness seriously. Forgiveness is your very standing with God. Take it seriously. Forgiving others is accepting your standing with God. Take it seriously. What happened in the second half of Matthew 18? When the man would not forgive the debt, when he was forgiven so much and he would not even forgive so little, what happened then? He was responsible for much. Sometimes we take people's faults so seriously. Don't take people's faults seriously. You know what? If you're going to want to point at somebody's faults, make sure that you can match God's virtues. If you can point to somebody's fault, be sure first to match God's perfection. And then you'll maybe have some grounds at a fault. One of the unique passages is when Jesus said, you point out the speck in your brother's eye, but you miss the log, the beam in your own eye. You know what the beam is? The fact that you're willing to judge the speck. That's a beam. That's a monstrous beam. And it's all the flesh. Don't take it so seriously. If somebody has a fault, don't take it seriously. Just love them in the fault and don't take their fault seriously. Oh, but I have to analyze and I have to figure it out. And I'm very concerned because they have a flesh. You know what? I'd be more concerned if they didn't. My Bible tells me every human being has a flesh. And if they don't have a flesh, what are they? Don't take it so seriously. It's not doing you any favors. Now be kind to them, take that seriously. Be gentle, yes, absolutely. Restoration, take restoration seriously. Take redemption seriously. Take forgiveness seriously. Take confession of sin seriously. Take things like that seriously. But the flesh, seriously? No. Not even for a minute. Don't take that seriously. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his paths. How many people take their plans so seriously? This is what I planned, and it's not going according to my plan, and I can't handle it when it doesn't go according to my plan, and this is how I set it out, and this is how it has to be, and I can't change from that. And God looks at you like, what plan? There's really only one plan, and it's my plan. What plan are you talking about? Oh, but it didn't go the way that I had desired it to go. Really? And what did you desire? Well, I wanted to X, Y, and Z, and it turned out to be A, B, and C. Oh, really? And that is earth-shattering, isn't it? Life has ended, your breath has gone out of your body, and the world has fallen apart. Yes, the earth is now in 500 pieces. You know, there's a problem people have. I was reading an article years ago, many years ago, but it made an impression on me, and I thought it was a very good point. I think it was Reader's Digest. And it was written by a man. When he was young, he worked at a dude ranch in Arizona. It would be kind of interesting if that person was actually listening to this message online. And he had a guy come in, one of the guests, and he was in the cafeteria, and this young man was a waiter. And the man asked him, what do you think of the job you have here? Because the guy was there for the summer. And he complained because it was the same food very frequently. And he didn't like having the same food very frequently. And he complained 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 and he complained. And then he noticed that there were numbers tattooed on the man's arm. And he stopped for a moment. And the man said to him, son, you know what your problem is? You don't know the difference between a problem and an inconvenience. If you're dying of cancer, if your child has died, your house burns down, you have a problem. Anything else, it's an inconvenience. We take our inconveniences and we turn them into problems. Because we take our inconveniences so seriously. We take our plans so seriously. We take our wants so seriously. The Word of God says in Proverbs 24:20, a man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Wants, I want, I want. You know what? You don't even know what you want. How do you know what you want? But you take it so seriously. Do you know the future? What will your want bring you? It's interesting to me, once in a while, you hear about some lottery winner and destroy their life, and they never thought it would. Don't take your wants. Don't take your plans. Don't take your disappointments so seriously. You know what you want to take seriously? The plan of God. Delighting yourself in the Lord, take that seriously. Rejoice in God. Be happy about the things of God. Find delight and joy in those. seeking first the kingdom of God, take that seriously. But your plans, seriously? Please. I didn't know you were that important to take your plans so seriously. So what happens if it doesn't quite work out your way? It didn't quite work out how you planned it. Are you going to be all fussy and mopey and sad about it? And you're going to be all crying and not happy because I didn't get it working the way that I wanted? Seriously? Are you kidding me? And you lose the joy when God's directing your steps. Sometimes God gives you opportunities with people and you had something else in mind. And He brings an eternal opportunity to reveal God's character, but you had something else in mind. If you take that something else too seriously, you'll miss what God had brought your way. If you take what God brings your way seriously, you'll never miss what you thought you wanted, because you'll see God's hand in it. And that is its own reward. Take it seriously when it's from God. Don't take anything else seriously. Your desires, your plans, those things don't actually mean anything. Proverbs 21:2 says that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. How many people are so serious about their own thinking, about their own evaluation, about their own righteousness, about their own goodness? Oh yes, I must be right. You ever meet somebody who can't be wrong? Don't take that seriously. What if you are wrong? Who cares? What difference does it really make if you're wrong? Well, I might make the wrong decisions. I could have tremendous repercussions and blah, 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 blah. Did God go away? Has God got off the throne just because you were wrong? Did God lose grip of you just because you're wrong? Did you somehow work your way out of His body because you were wrong? Who cares if you're wrong or right? So many people finger point all the time. Well, this one and that one and this thing and that thing. Who cares? But I have to deal with it. I have to live with it. I have to put up with it. Oh, you are taking yourself so seriously. God gave me an opportunity and it's awful. I get a chance for eternal rewards and I can't handle that because I don't take it very seriously. But this thing, this little thing here, this little gnat of an issue, oh, I take that so seriously. It's the end of the world because somebody said something mean. Please. You're taking the wrong thing seriously when you do that. God brings you opportunities. But this person, and you don't understand, God gave you that person as an opportunity. Number one, an opportunity for growth. And number two, an opportunity for reward. Take your opportunities seriously. But whatever it is that's making out of sorts, that's not that serious. Psalm 103:8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. This is a big one. Sometimes people lament things. Perhaps they sin, fail in some way. Maybe they even hurt somebody in the process. Or maybe they're hurt by somebody. And they take it so seriously. You know what the problem with taking things too seriously is? You never know what to let go. And you never know what to hold on to. Some things you just let go. Well, when I was 10 years old, this terrible thing happened to me. And indeed, it may be terrible. But you know what? Even if it was terrible, don't take it so seriously that you can't let it go. It's gone. Are you still 10 years old? No, I'm 47. Well, then maybe don't relate to it according to someone who's 10, but rather relate to it as someone who's 47. And that means it's no longer here. Don't take things that are removed seriously. Sin is like that. Sometimes people take sin too seriously. If you sin, confess it. Take confession seriously, and beyond that, don't take sin seriously. Just confess, get right with God. I'm not saying go ahead and sin by any measure. What I'm saying is, it's not that big a deal if you learn to confess. Can it be destructive? Oh, sure. But why take seriously the things that God eradicates out of time? God doesn't even know them, and we take them so seriously, and we live in guilt, and we live in condemnation, and we live in shame, and we live in fear, and what have you. We live in all the results of things that don't even exist anymore. We see them through the eyes of a 10-year-old, perhaps. But that 10-year-old is no longer here. And it's time to let things go. Well, this is how people treated me. So many people, it's amazing to me. You got people in their 40s, 50s, 60s. When I was 13, I was bullied. Yeah, bullying is a problem, granted. And bullying is bad stuff for kids. And I understand, we want to get rid of bullying. Yes, that's all well and good. But seriously, at 50 years old, you're still worried about the fact that you were bullied at 13? When I was a kid, if you were bullied, you'd punch the bully. If you couldn't beat him, you'd just walk away. Sometimes you just learn how to deal with things. You don't take the problem so seriously. Why not take seriously the fact that it's gone? Why not take seriously the fact that you're not 13, you're 50? Why not take seriously the fact that the blood of Christ cleanses all sins? Why not take seriously the fact that God eradicates them out of time? Why not take seriously the fact that maybe the bully had a need, and that's why they were a bully? It amazes me how many abusers were abused. And the reason why they're abusive is because they could never deal with the abuse they received. Why not take the fact... Now, excuse me. I'm not saying you submit to the abuser. I'm saying that you take seriously what needs to be taken seriously. And the fact that maybe somebody is in torment and doesn't know how to resolve it, and is unable to control themselves, maybe they have a need whereby they need someone to help them. If somebody's being abused in the marriage, I'm not saying you stay in there. Get away from that person. But at the same time, maybe they need some help. Maybe they need somebody to heal them. Maybe they need the love of God. I know of a situation where a man was an alcoholic and he beat his wife. She was in Pastor Stevens' church. She was a wonderful Christian, but her husband was a nightmare. And Pastor Stevens said to her, "Get away from him." And she said, "No, Pastor, I will not." And Pastor kept saying, "You need to get away from him before he kills you." And she said, "Pastor, I will not. Because if I leave him, who's going to show him the love of God?" About a year later, he broke because she was showing him the love of God. And he said to her, "I've been so harsh to you. I've been so unkind to you. I've beaten you. I've been so cruel to you. How can you show me the love of God?" And she says, "Because after you're gone, nobody else will." But she was unsaved. And that broke him. And he got saved. And he became a wonderful Christian and a good husband. Because that lady took seriously the love of God. And she didn't take her husband's faults, albeit they were glaring, albeit they were even dangerous. And she didn't take those faults too seriously. You know, if there's a lady in that situation, I would say the same thing Pastor Stephen said to that woman, get away from him now. But in that particular case, sovereignty was fulfilled by that lady knowing that the love of God is a serious issue here. And he got saved because of it. Don't sweat sin once you have confessed it. There is no condemnation. Take grace seriously. Take mercy seriously. God offers them to you in abundance. Take them seriously. The fact that you failed, don't take it so seriously. Confess it to God and continue. And you may say to yourself, yeah, but I'm going to fail again tomorrow or maybe even later today. Or maybe you say that about somebody else. Yeah, but they're just going to do it again. You're taking things way too seriously and you're not taking things seriously that you ought. Grace is serious. Mercy is serious. The goodness of God, which brings people to repentance, that you take seriously. The loving kindness of God that draws people unto God in Jeremiah 31:3, that you take seriously. But their failures, or your own, don't take those seriously. Confession does wonders when you confess your sins to God. Is it the same as repentance? No. And chances are if you confess, you'll do it again. And confess again. And keep confessing until you're victorious. Remember, the only place you can fall is into the arms of God. And so don't take it too seriously. In Romans 4:5, but unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Don't take your efforts so seriously. Take faith seriously. Believe God. Take it seriously. You believe God. And if you don't believe God, then take seriously about developing faith through the Word of God. Take that seriously. But the fact that you feel like you need to work up something, like you feel like you have to be something, that you feel like you have to be good enough, that's a vapor. That's a silly idea that has no merit nor foundation in truth. So don't take it seriously. What are you going to work up? Little dust ball working hard. I want to be a dust bunny and all I am is a dust ball. And so I'm going to work at it. And I'm very upset if I don't get it right. You're taking dust way too seriously. People try to be right with God through their own works when they don't realize that transformation with God comes by the Word of God and faith, and a faith response when it comes into your frame of reference, all of a sudden you're transformed into the image of Christ. You see, if you're trying to do it by works, what you're doing is you're taking the tree of knowledge of good and evil and natural effort very seriously, and it's not going to get you anywhere because God doesn't take it seriously. Have you ever wondered why in Genesis chapter 4, Cain's offering was rejected and Abel's was accepted? And you've probably been taught, well, one is a blood offering and one is the work of his hands. Consider something. The blood offering was something God did. The work of his hands was something Cain did. God takes what he does very seriously. God takes what you do not so much seriously. Cain was taking his own efforts very seriously, and Abel took what God did very seriously. Don't take your things, yourself, your efforts, the things of you seriously. You see, the more you take those seriously, the less seriously. seriously you take God, and the more you take God seriously, the less seriously you take yourself. When you start taking yourself very, very lightly, in other words, you don't take yourself seriously at all, you'll be one of the happiest people on the planet. Because you're free. In Hebrews 8:12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. The past, some people take the past so seriously. Things that happened, maybe they shouldn't have. Things that should have happened and didn't. Who I was, what I was. And then they bring it into the present and say things like, well, I got to get to know myself. That's a good one. You don't know yourself, do you? Well, I'm here to get to know myself. That's why I'm taking this trip. I heard of one lady, I divorced my husband so I could get to know myself. Boy, lady, you are some kind of confused. If you don't know yourself, you're weird. You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to find meaning in the flesh. You're trying to find meaning where there is none. It's an emotional endeavor. It's chasing a vapor. And by the time you catch it, the vapor is gone. And you're going to keep trying to get to know yourself. Some people say, well, this was such a great experience. I got to know myself. What did you get to know about yourself? Your preferences? Well, I got to know that I like this kind of food and not that kind of food. And that's very important, you know. Ah, that's deep. I got to know that I'm tougher than I thought I was. Well, let's all applaud that. I got to know that I wasn't a 10-year-old, huh? At 35. People take themselves so seriously. They take things so seriously. Things that should just be let go. Things that are trivial and meaningless. Things that are guaranteed. Take no thought for tomorrow. God supplies all your needs and you're so worried about your finances. And God says, don't take it so seriously. I'll take care of it. This is what you take seriously. Take God and His character seriously. That means the love of God and the fullness of what 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 say it is. You take that seriously. Starting with patience and kindness. You take that character of God seriously. You take a healthy diet of the Word of God seriously. Prayer, time with God, meditation. You take those things seriously. Take soul winning seriously. Evangelism. Evangelize on purpose. Don't give me this lifestyle of evangelism stuff. If that's your only form of evangelism, I'll guarantee you, you don't do a whole lot of it. Take evangelism seriously. I'm not saying that you can't ever miss, and I'm not saying that you can't ever be in a situation where you don't necessarily participate because you're ill or something like that. But as much as you are able, take it seriously. There's a reason why Proverbs 11:30 says, he that wins souls is wise. Take evangelism seriously. Souls seriously. Take edification of the body seriously. Don't take your moods seriously. Take letting your words be seasoned with salt. Do not say it if it doesn't edify. Take that seriously because every one of those unedifying words you will give an account of. Promise you, God said it, it will happen. Guarantee it, you will give an account for every single one. So take it seriously. Take faithfulness seriously. Take church attendance seriously. People aren't always faithful. They say, oh, I'm apart, but they never show up. Oh, I'm apart, but they never do it. Take obedience to God seriously. God said, be in church more and more as you see the day approaching, and people just don't show up except when they feel like it, and if they have a better offer that day, or they got the sniffles, forget it, I'm not going to be there. No, take that seriously. take faith seriously. You'll be rewarded eternally for all the things of faith. Take redemption seriously. God calls it a reward of silver. The fact that you are perhaps suffering or going through something, take it seriously that that is your opportunity from God for eternal promotion and rewards. If you are suffering, then it's also your opportunity from God to reign with Christ. Take it seriously. And don't react at what God has given you as an eternal opportunity. Take it seriously. Don't take the world seriously. Don't take your flesh seriously. One of the biggest mistakes believers make is they take their flesh seriously and it leads to all kinds of terrible problems. Don't take it so seriously. If you take your flesh seriously, you will never grow and you will give an opportunity to the devil. Don't take it seriously. Don't take other people's flesh seriously. If you do, then you're going to be in bondage to a terrible tyrant. Because the flesh is a tyrant, and the only worse tyrant than my flesh is your flesh. In other words, me trying to submit to your flesh. That is a terrible tyrant. And even if they want you to submit to your flesh, even if they pitch a fit, be kind to them perhaps, be gentle. Sometimes you may have to put them in their place in the right measure. But don't take their flesh seriously. Don't take those things which are not eternal seriously. Who cares which car you drive? Who cares what brand your coat is or your purse? Who cares who made your shoes so long as they work? Who really cares? Don't take that silly stuff seriously. Learn to take what you need to seriously. And don't take seriously anything else. What you take seriously is very simple, and there's not a lot to it. The people who don't know what to take seriously often take things seriously, and there's so many of them, and it's so complicated, and it's so heavy. You know what? If it's not simple, you're doing it wrong. But if it's not simple, probably shouldn't be taken seriously. Ask God. He'll show you. And when He says something, take it seriously. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift, so simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.